at the start, you're looking for love. You're looking for a mutual form of companionship. And that's the purpose, right? So what's the purpose of the marriage? What do you prioritize? I think it's really key. Mm. Purpose comes first, and then the priorities comes next.
Hello and welcome to the Connecting Marriage Podcast. I'm June and I'm the host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect 2 Podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication and conflict, and so much more. We hope that you'll keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper and stronger. Today, we are talking about the topic of male leadership in the home. I invite you to stay open and curious with me. So what does male leadership look like in a marriage built on mutual love, respect and partnership, where both voices of husband and wife matter? Today, I'm joined by Mark and Sue, a couple I deeply respect, and they are no strangers to our podcast as well. I'm really glad to have them here to unpack what healthy, respectful male leadership can look like in our homes. I think you also appreciate their honesty and humor, as well as lived wisdom. So welcome, Mark and Sue. Would you like to briefly introduce yourselves?
Hi, June, and thanks for having us back again. It's always good to be here. We are from a company called Social Quotient. So we're actually counselors. We're actually trainers. We do work in the area of premarital counseling, in the area of marriage counseling, parenting. We do workshops in the schools, special needs, mental wellness, other stuff as well.
Yes, that's indeed a lot. So my first question to the both of you is, what does leadership at home look like to you?
Leadership at home. So talking about male leadership, right? It means I lead, you follow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, it's not that simple, right? Okay, because leadership, right? When we look at the term leadership, there's always a good leader, but always no good followers, right? So I think it's not just leading just blindly according to what we want as guys, okay, or as husbands, but actually it's about respecting the needs of everyone in the household, talking about my spouse, talking about my children. I think that's really key. I mean, anybody who leads without any respect, forget it, okay? Your leadership will be removed, okay? Whether it's in the army or whether it's any other form of leadership in the workplace or anything like that. So, I mean, that's just a general principle, yeah.
So there's a sense of mutuality.
Yeah, and I think people may question, you know, why male leadership, right? In this day and age, I mean, there are so many effective female leaders as well in the workplace. But I like to say, if you're fighting a battle, you cannot have two leaders in front. The troops won't know who to follow. It makes things easier to have a leader of the household. And then the leader also has to be an effective leader. You cannot have a leader who doesn't take care of his troops' welfare or, you know, basic needs. Also has to listen to the army and the rest of the troops as well. So I think the analogy is there. It is not that the leader is leading blindly or leading with autocratically, you know, with full authority. But yeah, listening to what the rest of the members are saying as well.
Mm, wise words indeed. So it is leadership with care, leadership with listening, and leadership with respect. So these are some of the keywords that I hear when it comes to the different roles and responsibilities in your home. There may be times where maybe one of you is better at something compared to the other. Is this a good way to then negotiate the roles and responsibilities according to your strengths?
I think we need to look at marriage and even parenting as a partnership. If not, what's the point, right, of coming together in the first place? You come together, yes, out of love, but also to be there for one another in life's challenges that we face. Like any partnership, we all come with our own strengths and weaknesses as well. Yeah, and I think the problem comes when we come with expectations of our partner. It could be due to social media. It could be due to our own family backgrounds. And then we end up disappointed and even bitter that the other person is not fulfilling their role. We really need to just have a level ground and say what, you know, truthfully is do we bring to the equation. For example, I like to cook and I like to bake, but I'm the kind I must follow the recipe to the T. Yeah, Mark is actually much more experienced than me because he's been living by himself for some time before we got married, and he's a spontaneous cook, so he can put it together much faster. In these times where we are also foster parents, so we've been parenting a toddler at home as well, and she is sticky like glue to mummy. So I have been letting him cook and we have been all enjoying his food. I could have said, oh, I should be doing that role, you know, stereotypically. Yeah, but we have been more than happy to have daddy cook. And my boys have also picked up some skills and an interest in the department because they have also been inspired by him. So it's a win-win situation all around.
I mean, yeah, indeed. About partnership. And I think that's really, really important when we talk about marriage. Marriage is a partnership. I'm also saying that in the context of the counseling clients I have, and very sadly, quite a number of couples whom I'm counseling are going through marital issues, or even some of them have already divorced or are thinking of divorce. And a lot of the conflict comes in the area of expectations, as what Sue mentioned, about unmet expectations. Before I married you, I look into your eyes, you look into mine, and oh, we had all these expectations about each other, what a perfect marriage it would be. But after you get married, and then all the fancies, Nancy kind of a thing is over, and then but modernity, and then realize that actually it's far from ideal and far from perfect. And because of these unmet expectations, many couples get into conflict and they question each other about the roles that they play. And it's not a very pretty picture.
We really need to just go back to baseline and see, actually, we have the same goals in mind. So couples forget that, you know, in all your disappointments about unmet expectations, you forget that both of you are actually still working towards building the family, still working towards building the children up. If that is the case, then fundamentally, you are still on the same page. And so the roles and responsibilities just need some division, some discussion. I think communication is key, where you feel that you are disappointed, don't let it lead to resentment and bitterness, but really like talk it through. Of course, at a time where both of you are not in a state of anger or being upset. Nah.
We also talked about purpose, and I think that's really key. I mean, purpose and priorities, that's something that I think is really crucial to look at. What's the purpose? I mean, when we get together with somebody we love, what's the purpose? Is it just to have children? I mean, one purpose of getting married is their children, but if that's the only purpose, then I think it's sad. At the start, you're looking for love, you're looking for a mutual form of companionship, and that's the purpose, right? So what's the purpose of the marriage? What do you prioritize? I think it's really key. Purpose comes first, and then the priorities comes next.
Well, we've been talking about a few different areas, right, of marriage life, of family life, and I'm hearing terms like initially we talked about the unmet needs, right, that can easily lead to a lot of unhappiness and resentment even over time. And then we also moved on to talk a little bit about purpose in the marriage and in the family, in a sense, aligning yourselves to a common goal. So all of these relates to leadership in different ways, right? Because if there is perhaps a failure on the leader's part in managing the home or in aligning the goals, failing to meet certain expectations of the spouse, then how does leadership look like in terms of coming to terms with this failure when the leader does not so-called rise up to take his position in the home? We're talking about male leadership here, right? So what can be done in such situation?
A lifetime of love and romance requires intentional effort and attention. Yet in times of busyness and with overwhelming priorities to tend to, our marriages can often take a back seat. No matter the state of your relationship today, we want to help you and your spouse thrive. Check out Connect 2, featuring specially created experiences and resources, our favorite selection of articles, top hits on our podcast, date ideas, conversation starters, and more to address the issues that are keeping you and your spouse apart, and to help you rekindle the joy of pursuing one another. Visit www.family.org.sg/connect2 today.
In our counseling, or you know, when we work with couples, sometimes we do see the wife is disappointed that the husband is not taking up the role, the mantle. I feel this can be quite a number of reasons. We all have our own journeys, you know. Sometimes we come to the marriage feeling not good enough, for example. Or some of the men, they may not have had role models to follow as well. I'll just speak from the position of a wife. I don't think sometimes we make it better. Yeah, sometimes we make it a lot worse, just full of criticisms. Yeah. And we know about the love and respect principle. So for guys, respect is very important. It's a vicious cycle. The less respect they feel, the more they are not going to be able to fulfill their role. Yeah, and so I would say wives, encourage your husbands. It might not be easy. Sometimes it's, oh, I cannot find anything I can encourage him in. But there must surely be something. I think sometimes it is also taking a step back. As wives and moms, we may want things in the house to be a certain way. You know, the table has to be super ultra clean. We want the clothes to be folded a certain way. Husbands may not necessarily be made in that way to fulfill these roles the way that we are able to. But so I find that when the table is wiped, of course, it may not be to my full approval, but just be thankful that the table was wiped. Yeah, rather than step in and criticize again. So I did want to say that as wives, sometimes we need to, I mean, I'm totally guilty of it too. Yeah, but to be more encouraging in a certain way when our husbands do well in certain things.
And as husbands, I'll also jump in to say, since we talk about love and respect, husbands love your wives. Okay, even if they're emotional, extremely emotional, love them. Okay, I think that's really the fundamental principle. I think when this whole thing about husbands loving wives, wives respecting husbands, not to say that husbands don't respect wives and wives don't love husbands, okay, but I think it's really fundamental because we're looking at felt needs, right? We talked earlier on about expectations, and expectations and needs actually go hand in hand. If as husbands and wives, we actually love and respect each other, I think it will be a lot easier journey for both persons in a partnership on this journey we call marriage.
Yeah, I think sometimes it helps for the wives to be very specific about what we hope to achieve. Also a mom of two boys, so I've also learned that somehow I need to communicate clearly what my expectations are. Somehow, I don't know, but they are not as good as multitasking as we wives and moms are. So if I give three instructions, maybe they heard the first one and they couldn't manage the other two. So I have learned over time, just give one at a time, be very specific. And then when they do deliver, then give praise and appreciation as well. That's what I've learned in this journey. Yeah,
that's a really interesting nugget that you shared, Sue, and I could really resonate with that. Very often, we as wives, we think that, oh, you should know, you know, we've been married for X number of years. Why do I still need to say that you need to be the one planning the date night, or you need to be the one, you know, thinking about the next birthday celebration, for example, right? But actually, it is so much easier, and we set ourselves up for success when we make our requests explicit to the husband, right? Yes. And it's interesting that you link it to even parenting, you know, parenting of boys.
As husbands, one thing I'll say is listen to your wives. Okay, don't be Mr. Fix-It. We're not there to solve all the problems. I know I can't. Okay, I'm a finite human being with many limitations. Yeah, that's what I'll say. Okay, of course, it's no excuse for me not to do things around the house, and I acknowledge that I have many flaws, and that's the reality, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what wives want is for husbands to just listen. Okay, listen to every aspect of it, all the emotions, the highs, the lows. It's not always easy, and actually just sit. Okay, sometimes refrain from giving advice. I think advice is particularly difficult, or even like offer to do things to take over. That's not what women want. Women want just someone to listen to them, to show empathy. Yeah, I think it's extremely important in this regard as well. I'm not always perfect, and I know I don't always do this, but I know that's something that is very important, listening and just true empathy.
Indeed. Sometimes I find myself telling my husband in advance, like, okay, I need to share this with you, but I really just need you to listen. I know you will have your own solutions and ideas. Maybe that can come later. Yeah, and that really helps him to know, okay, what's expected of me in this moment.
And I think timing is important. So yes, I mean, sometimes when our husbands, they have their mind on work or sending a WhatsApp or something else, yeah, then, I mean, learn to wait. They can get back to you about, you know, the correct time with which to bring something up that might be more emotional or, you know, more complex. There is a timing. I think a lot of it is communication, actually, down to just making our needs known. Yeah, but also doing it with respect and honoring each other.
The other thing I'm not about is also physiology. Men and women are just different. Okay, I mean, we've all heard about this whole thing about men are like Mars and women are like Venus, right? And well, I mean, the other thing is that there's another book, men are like waffles.
Waffles.
And women are like spaghetti all over the place. But yeah, I mean, we really sometimes have a one track mind. Okay? Guilty as charged. Multitasking is just not our trait. Yeah, that's physiology.
Sometimes I have to remind myself as well to try not to jump from one topic to another. Or if I really have to do that, then to be explicit to signal, oh yes, actually I forgot to tell you about this other thing. And then at least my spouse knows, okay, you know, we're moving on to a different topic. Otherwise, he tends to get very confused and frustrated. Thanks, Mark and Sue. It sounds like, you know, we started off talking about this whole concept about male leadership, right? And leading with humility, leading with love, leading with listening and respect. And then we realized that through our conversation that actually both spouses, both husbands, as well as wives, we have our own part to play in order to create this conducive and loving partnership in the home. So it's really not about one person dominating the decisions or dominating the conversation. Now, in each podcast, we address, you know, a frequently asked question that couples have about their marriage. Today's question comes from a husband who says, I am the stronger personality in my marriage. So how can I lead in a way that's natural, respectful, and brings out the best in my wife without sidelining her all the time?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is I hear that this husband really wants to honor his wife. That's why he's asking that question. I think that is an important aspect to understand what the wife wants. So in other words, including her in the decision-making process, and I mean, it could be consulting her, or it could be just by talking more, communication. Think more. I think you have a better understanding of what your spouse wants. And then making decisions based on something which you know that your spouse likes or your spouse wants, right? So I think in a sense, it's not making a decision for I, me, and myself, but it's for we, for us. So decisions are always joint, and decisions are always looking at the other person and considering our interests, our family's interests.
I think it's actually great that this person is even thinking about this, because someone, you know, who is a natural leader, they may not even be aware that they are playing this role and kind of sidelining their spouse. Yeah, so that's already a good start. I think if this person can always just keep it at the back of their mind. Yeah, and I think like Mark says, what helps is when we think of others more than ourselves. Yeah, and I think if this husband always has that perspective, yes, he may ultimately make the decision, but making it consultatively, having really heard her opinion in the case before making the decision, I think the wife might not mind actually, you know, him stepping forward in that way. I think sometimes it's personality too, you know. Some of us are just very high D, we are more dominant. That can be a good thing, so long as he makes sure that his wife is heard. Yeah, and I think it can be small things. If it's a date night out, considering what she likes, yeah, listening to what she may have mentioned in the week about a certain idea for a class without, you know, her actually realizing it. I think all these things are very precious, and it can show that she's also valued as well in the equation.
Indeed. So making space for her views to be heard, her preferences to be honored as well. And like you said, with this husband's just being aware that he may be the stronger personality in the home is already the first step to then making space for his wife's views and desires to be met as well. So thank you so much, Mark and Sue, once again, for sharing so honestly and so authentically. I'm just wondering, do you have any last words of advice you would like to leave for our listeners?
I was thinking about this whole topic, and as we have been married for some time, how long already?
How long?
Almost 18 years.
18 years.
Yeah, so yeah. I have realized that when I think I'm right, I am not necessarily right all the time. Yeah, and I think that's the wisdom, you know. So often we are very, very sure we are the ones who are right. But I have learned to hold back and tell myself, as much as I feel that I'm the one who is correct in this situation, he has another perspective that I'm not necessarily seeing. So even in a situation where I feel he might not have done things the way I believe that they should have done, he has a logic and a rationale behind it as well. And also his heart is for the family. So it is not like he's trying to boycott, you know, sabotage everyone. And I have realized it has been working, as painful and difficult it is. It's definitely not an easy thing to bite your lips and, you know, say, okay, I will hold back. But a few days later, I will find, actually, yes, he had another point of view that I didn't see. So I think it's the humility that we need to come to marriage with. Marriage is very humbling, yeah, but it also shapes us to be better people.
Well, I married a wise woman, and she has wise words, so I'll just leave it at that.
Well said. Yeah, well said. I really like what you said too about taking your spouse's perspective and being able to just exercise that humility and that openness to each other and to trust that actually both of you have the marriage, have the family interests at heart. Thanks so much, Mark and Sue. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and share with each other. So if you are listening to this with your spouse, wives, take time to affirm your husband, share one thing that you admire about his leadership in the home. And husbands, do share one strength that your wife carries that you don't, and show your appreciation for it. We hope that you have found today's episode helpful and encouraging. Do share this podcast with a friend who might also benefit from it. And if you would like to find out more marriage resources, you can go to family.org.sg for more details. So thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to stay tuned to the next episode.